Hour number two, Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay and Michelle Knezvik hanging out. The reporter Nick Keyser on the ones and twos as well. Hey, you want to win a pair of tickets to see Dave Matthews Band at Bridgestone Arena on Friday, May 26th? Well, this is what you need to do. And 102.5 The Game has your chance to win those tickets right now, courtesy of Green Trees Company Dispensary, providing high-quality legal THC products. Just text in the keyword GREEN, G-R-E-E-N, to the game text line at 615-737-1025, and you'll be entered to win. So good luck with all of that. All right, Michelle has a rant, I guess a red rant, coming to Chase and Michelle about the schedule. We know the NFL schedule came out last week, and that includes primetime games and everything. Now, the Titans are on a Thursday night game. They're on a Monday night game. And then they will also be on NFL Network for the London game against Baltimore. So technically that's not primetime, but it is a nationally televised game. So they have three nationally televised games this year. But you have some beef when it comes to Monday night and the schedule this year.
Yeah, and specifically on Tennessee's front, I was surprised that they got two. They got a Thursday, they got a Monday, and then, of course, you know, you add that London game, which is also going to be nationally televised. So I was excited for it, and I need to thank our good friend Robbie Stanley, who actually will be joining us next segment at 10:15, for bringing this to my attention. So I know they started to trickle in some of the doubleheader Monday night football games last year. I don't love it.
Well, they used to do it. They've done it for a while. They used to do it week one. They would have like a an East Coast game and a West Coast game.
I don't love it. I want one football game on Thursday, or I'm sorry, one football game on Monday, one football game on Thursday, and I want to sit on my butt all day Sunday and watch games from noon until the Sunday night game. So now this schedule comes out for this year. Week one, cool. Bills, Jets, love that. First matchup. Week two, Saints Panthers at 7:15, and then an hour later, Browns Steelers. I don't love the two games only 1 hour apart, because then you have to like half double screen. I don't love that, but okay, that's fine. I guess I'll deal with that. Week three, Eagles Bucks, 7:15, hour later, Rams Bengals. Again, don't love it. You start an hour, you're just a little bit through halftime. I just don't love that. Two screens, but not at the same time. It's just a lot. Like on Sundays, I can just get it all prepared because I know what's happening. Okay, now go all the way down. Week 14, Tennessee Titans at the Dolphins, 8:15. Oh, wait for it. And at 8:15, Packers at Giants. I hate that. They start at the exact same time. Like, first off, I feel bad for Robbie because those are obviously his two teams that he watches. And you would think, you know, maybe I have to deal with a Sunday at noon when they're on at the same time. No, you have to deal with a Monday night. They're both on at 8:15. And you know they're not getting the Manning cast in that game. You know the Manning cast is going to be Packers-Giants. So,
or they won't have one that night.
We will get to Peacock in a second, because that's a whole other thing, too, that I'm also mad about. But I hate this. I hate it. There should be one football game on Monday, or make them two completely different times, because they shouldn't be starting at the same time first. And an hour apart is also annoying. So that is my rant. There should be one football game on Monday, or if you are going to have two, do a 6 and a 9 and make one the West Coast game.
Okay. So I'm going to play devil's advocate for a second.
Ooh, we got a lot of texts. Okay.
Why is this a big deal for you on a Monday night but not a Sunday afternoon?
Because work.
Okay, but you
Monday is the start of the week.
But you're still going to sit on your couch and watch the game. Like, if you're going to sit on your couch and watch two games on Sunday, or watch Red Zone on one and the Titans on the other, or what have you, I mean, what's the difference in doing that on a Monday night?
Because I have to do things that get ready for the week. Like, you got to make dinner. You got to get prepped for the week. You got to go to bed early. You got to just be organized. Like, it's not as justifiable to do it on a Monday when you're kicking off your week than on a Sunday, when Sunday is your reset for the weekday where you can just sit on your butt. And I understand everybody has different schedules. And we have the luxury of only working, you know, some unique hours. But, and I have to go to bed really early, which I also don't like. And I know not everybody has to do that.
See, there's the crux of the conversation here.
Yeah, but I just would rather focus on one game. It's unique. Hey, you get the crown of having the Monday night football game. Everybody's eyes are on you on Monday. You get the crown of having the Thursday night football game. Week 8, everybody's eyes are on you. I just don't like it half on one game and half on the other game.
So I'm going to, again, that was devil's advocate. Now I'm going to give you my opinion. I've always liked the doubleheader.
I know you have.
Now, I do think it's a little odd that they're doing – you know, an 8:15 kick or a 7:15 kick at the same time for two games.
Oh, yeah.
But
I was saying Eastern time.
But I'm still going to watch both. I'll have them both on. Now, obviously, I'll be paying closer attention to the Titans game because that's the one I'm going to be talking about the next day. But I kind of like it. I'm okay with it. I really don't have an issue because I do, you know, I'm a football nut. I have the two TVs set up, or if I go to a bar, they'll both be on. And I'll watch both. So
I'm a football
I'm looking
nut
forward
too.
To week 2 and week 3.
But not week 14.
I'm looking forward to that too, but that'll be a while.
It's just annoying and I don't like it. And I love football and I will sit on my butt. Sunday is a different day than Monday. Monday is you get ready for the week
and
you allow yourself to have a little bit of fun cuz you look forward to Monday night for this specific game. And then you look forward to Thursday night for that specific game. I want my focus to be on one thing. And text line, let us know how you think, because I know I'm not alone in this. 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It's annoying. I don't like it. I want all the games to be on Sunday, and then I want one game on Monday and one game on Thursday.
Yeah, like Ricky just said, Bills, Titans, and Eagles, Seahawks was a fun Monday last year. Like, we went and watched them both. Now, granted, I think Bills Titans kicked first. I can't remember, but they were an hour apart on kickoff. I know that the intrigue and the prestige of having Aikman and Buck do your game, you know, being the Titans probably aren't going to get that.
Oh no,
that probably will be Packers and Giants, but
most likely.
I don't know. I've always been fine with it, and I say this like you're entitled to your opinion, but I feel like of all the things to really be worked up about, like there are other things with the schedule, like, I don't know, streaming playoff games that might be, you know, more.
Oh, well, you just wait because they're introducing Peacock now. We'll just wait until, you know, we already see Thursday night football on Amazon. Just wait. Monday night football is going to be doubleheaders. One's going to be on ESPN, and then the other one's going to be on True TV. That's what's going to happen.
It's like the
it's
NCAA.
The beginning.
Hey, if you find it for the NCAA tournament, you could find it for the NFL. No, True TV does not have an NFL package. But
yeah, that was a joke.
Nickelodeon does. So,
well, there you go. That's what's going to happen. That is what's going to happen.
Okay. Well, we will continue this. This is not a...
Really quick, Wes in Clarksville. Yeah. If there is two games, it needs to be Sunday night, not Monday. I love that. I would much rather two Sunday night football games than two Monday night football games.
I wouldn't hate that. I think they used to do that back in the day. I think ESPN had one and TNT had one.
Sunday is the night of the football.
Yeah. I'd be all right with that. But I'm fine with a doubleheader on a Monday night too. So we'll talk to Robbie Stanley. We'll get his thoughts on that and also the Predators and hockey. We'll do that coming up here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. I got to tell you, we have this text line, and sometimes it's a rabbit hole that you can go down. You know, people just, it's just a complain line. Sometimes that's what it is. But anyway, we say hello to Robbie Stanley, one half of Robbie and Rex Road, mornings from 6 to 9 here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie, I know sometimes you lose Joe in the text line, but it's a good time.
Hi, Robbie.
Oh, it's a wonderful time. It's rabbit hole is probably a good phrase for it. You can get lost in there sometimes. It's tough to dig your way out of the rabbit hole. It's fun though.
Yes, indeed. So let's start with the Western Conference Final. It is now set. Las Vegas will take on the Dallas Stars. It was a fun game 7 last night. Seattle couldn't quite get it done, though. And Pete DeBoer once again continues his streak. He's 7-0 in game sevens, and it seems like he joins a team and they have instant success, and then they get tired of him being a jerk. But that's where they're at right now. So what do you think about that matchup between Vegas and Dallas?
Well, first off, that reminds me of another Peter that I think we all know and love around here somewhere. But look, I think this is going to be a great series between Dallas and Vegas. I think the interesting part, and this goes back to kind of a goaltending conversation that we had a few weeks ago, like Vegas is on their second goalie right now, and really their third when you think about it, with Robin Leonard going through what he's going through. So Aiden Hill closes things out against Edmonton. They had Brossoit go down in that series. And really, you look around the playoffs right now, like Bobrovsky's in net for Florida, but he wasn't even the starter at the end of the regular season. Carolina, for basically 3 years, has just like plug-and-played a goaltender. And Jake Ottinger, like, is the one guy left in the playoffs with Dallas, where it's like, all right, that guy is a bell cow goalie. He plays almost every night. He's one of the top goalies in the league. Like, he's the one that's left in the playoffs that have made it. So that part of it's really interesting. Like, Dallas, I look at Dallas, and they're one of the teams that I look around, and there's not really a weakness there. Like, they have good defensemen really all up and down their lineup. I love Jake Ottinger in net, and they do enough offensively that makes them dangerous. Like, Roope Hintz has been incredible so far in the playoffs. Joe Pavelski has been incredible in the playoffs when he's been healthy too. So I love that series between Dallas and Vegas. I'm sure the NHL is very excited that the Final Four is Dallas, Vegas, Florida, and Carolina. I'm sure the TV numbers are going to be great on that four. But I think the hockey in those two series is going to be really good.
Robbie Stanley is with us. Now, I know you and Joe talked about this yesterday. Michelle and I got into it a little bit about it. But we've now seen in the last, I guess, it's been 5-6 years since Vegas came into the league. They paid $500 million to come into the league. They go to the Stanley Cup Final. Their first year, they missed the playoffs once. Seattle makes the playoffs in this run in their second year of existence. And, you know, the question is, has the NHL made it too easy to have success too fast for an expansion team? I look at it as when the Preds came in, they paid $80 million. It was a different time. The league was in a different state. Nashville was different. And so I don't think it's really apples to apples. But what do you think?
Well, it's interesting because Vegas and Seattle both, yes, there was the exorbitant expansion fee that came in with both of them. I think Vegas was like $500 million and Seattle was like $625 million or somewhere in that neighborhood. So there's the fee that makes it more conducive to, okay, well, if they're going to pay that much, the rules should be bent in their favor to make them be competitive more quickly, which I understand that part of it. But they really went about it two different ways. Like Vegas, if you think back to that expansion draft in 2017, teams got fleeced left and right by Vegas. I mean, Florida ended up losing both Jonathan Marchessault and Riley Smith in that draft because they were trying to trade to protect other players. You know, James Neal obviously ended up on Vegas from the Predators, and that was, you know, he was a big part of them getting to the Cup Final that next year. So I think teams learned a lot from that Vegas experience, and the draft in Seattle was way different. Like, nobody looked at the team that Seattle put together after the first year of the expansion draft and said, yeah, that team's going to be pretty good. And they weren't. They weren't very good. They missed the playoffs. But they took some guys that were younger. They took some guys with maybe a little bit more upside, and they've had players grow into roles. I think Dave Hextall has done a really good job. And beyond that, like, they've made some good decisions with trade and so at least one waiver claim that we know about here in Nashville that have worked out really well.
Had to bring that up.
I think we've met him before. So, like, they went about it two really totally different ways when you look at it. But like you said, they both had pretty good success, like, right off the bat. Like, Chase, yesterday I put together, since the Predators came into the league, the list of teams that have made it to the Western Conference Final, like, how many times they've done it. And, of course, you get, like, your Chicagos and your Dallases and your Colorados who've made it five times. Dallas now is officially at six since 1998. But Arizona, Calgary, Minnesota, Nashville, Winnipeg, and Vancouver have all made the Western Conference Final exactly one time since 1998 when the Predators came in the league, and Vegas has been there four since 2017. Just think about that.
Unreal.
Wow. Robbie Stanley from Robbie and Rex Road joins us right now. Robbie, earlier this morning, we had Mike Zeisberger on from NHL Network, and he's up in Toronto. He covers the Leafs. he specifically said that, you know, the chatter around is that Spencer Carberry is ready to take that next leap and head coaching job in the NHL. If John Hines is fired here, how likely do you think it is that Spencer Carberry could be an option here?
Well, I think it's very likely. Like, if the Predators decide to move on from John Hines, and that's what Barry Trotz wants to do, I mean, there's a natural connection there with Carberry. He was in the same organization as Trotz was while Trotz was with the Capitals. Now, does that necessarily mean that that would be Trotz's guy? Not necessarily, but, you know, Carberry is a hot name for more than just, you know, he was in Washington at the same time Barry Trotz was. He's thought of really highly as kind of that next wave of up-and-coming coaches. And I want to say, I think he's 41 years old right now, and the way that Toronto plays the game is different. Now, that when you've got Marner and Matthews and Tavares and Nylander, some of the things that you can do offensively are different, but Mike Zeisberger talked about it this morning. Like, the special teams that Carberry has been in charge of have been really good with Toronto. And I think there's a wide thought around the league that he's going to be one of those next guys that's up and coming, kind of similar to Sheldon Keith in Toronto, who's a younger coach as well. So if Carberry is available, I think there are going to be a lot of teams that have interest. There are 5 job openings right now in the NHL, not including the Predators because they don't have a job opening. But, you know, your Anaheims of the world with that young group, Columbus still has their job open. Like, really the one job right now that's interesting in terms of, like, being ready to compete right now is the Rangers job, and I don't think that they're going for a guy that's never been a head coach before. So I think the Predators could be interested in Carberry if that's the route they decide to go to move on from John Hines, but I don't think that they'll be alone in that interest.
So today's May 16th. The Predators haven't played hockey for a very long time. We talked to Barry Trotz just last week, Robbie, an opportunity to say, yep, John Hines is going to be our coach, coach out his contract. But he didn't confirm anything on the show. Where are you? Where do you think Barry Trotz's head is at on whether John Hines will be the coach next year?
Well, it's hard for me to believe that there's not at least consideration to moving on from him at this point. Like, to me, if it was this cut and dry that he was going to be back next season and that he was going to be the head coach, I think he would have said that by now. I mean, there's no – if you believe that John Hines is the person that you want – and he's the right guy for the job. Like, to me, there's no reason to have not said that at this point. Now, that also doesn't mean that John Hines won't be back, because you can have a plan if you're Barry Trotz, and if that plan doesn't come to fruition, maybe that John Hines is worth keeping around at that point. But the more this is dragged on, and the more, like you said, Michelle, he's had the opportunity to confirm that John Hines is coming back next year, and he hasn't done it yet, it makes me think that he's got his eye on a guy or two out there that he wants to come be the next head coach. And if it works out, maybe that's the way they go. If it doesn't work out and they're not able to land that next coach, then maybe John Hines is back at that point. But I think the way that he's handled this makes me think that Barry Trotz has his eye on somebody else.
Do you think Andrew Brunette could be a consideration given the connection to the organization?
I do. I mean, there's the obvious connection that he's got with Trotz, having played for him. But I also think he's a pretty good coach. Like, I thought he kind of got a raw deal in Florida, and obviously it's worked out for the Panthers with, you know, Paul Maurice doing what he's done, and they're in the Eastern Conference Final and all that stuff. But, you know, Brunette was there in a really bad situation with Quenneville getting canned because of all the Kyle Beach stuff. And he took over and he did a really good job, I thought. So he's now an assistant with the New Jersey Devils. I think he's going to be a hot name on the coaching circuit as well. And I would not be surprised if there was interest there on the Predators' part too.
With the jobs that you named that are opening and not including Nashville, to me, the only one that might fit the Peter Laviolette style would be the Rangers. But do you kind of feel like this could be the end of the road for him when it comes to head coaching jobs in the NHL?
It could be. I mean, conventional wisdom tells me that the NHL recycles coaches so much that he'll probably get another job at some point if he wants one. I mean, I know it didn't go the way they hoped it would in Washington, obviously. But if you look at his career, he's won a Stanley Cup in Carolina. He took the Flyers to the Cup Final in Philadelphia. And he took the Predators to the Cup Final in 2017 here in Nashville, obviously. Like, there's a track record there of success. So I think eventually if he wants to have another job, he will. What you brought up is really interesting because I don't know that it's going to be this offseason. Like, if I'm Peter Laviolette, I probably don't have a whole lot of interest in taking over the Anaheim Ducks or the Columbus Blue Jackets. Maybe he does. I don't know. I probably wouldn't. And the Rangers, they're built to win right now, but is he the guy that they want leading the charge? Do they have their eye on maybe a Joel Quenneville, which could create a whole interesting situation with the NHL? I don't know. But I think Laviolette will eventually have another job. I just don't know that it's going to be this summer.
Yeah, and Gerard Gallant is another one that's sitting out there. Yep. So it could be interesting. Rob, appreciate it. As always, we'll be listening tomorrow starting at 6.
Thanks, Robbie.
Yep. Thanks, y'all.
Robbie Stanley, one half of Robbie and Rex Road, 6 to 9 a.m. every weekday here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. There's breaking news out of the NBA, and I think Michelle might have called this. We will discuss that and also look at some win totals for the NFL. We'll do that next, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Nashville's best deal of the week is for Bavarian Beer House at Opry Mills. Bavarian Beer House, Nashville's only authentic German beer hall, is a place full of fun, food, music, and most importantly, beer. Enjoy traditional German bratwurst, schnitzel, giant pretzels, and more. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals now to get a $50 gift card for $25 to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last. Very good deal there. Breaking news out of the association. Adrian Woj, we just call him Woj, reporting that Doc Rivers has been fired by the 76ers. I don't think this is really all that of a surprise to anybody. I know you talked about this, Michelle, but I'm not surprised by it. And so there you go. Doc Rivers will move on. And there's some good coaching candidates out there because of, you know, Monty Williams has been fired. Mike Budenholzer was fired. I mean, so there's – you talk about – Robbie was talking about recycling coaches in the NHL. They do it in the NBA too. And so there's going to be definitely some good names available.
Yeah, I mean, not surprised on Doc Rivers firing. I said if they didn't make it – if they didn't beat the Celtics in this series that he would be fired by the time we got to Friday. And here we are, they lost the series. You know, I look at this team has been in a go-for-it mode. You have one of the best players in the world, and Joel Embiid. You got a James Harden and some young rising stars as well. Disappointment. I mean, they lost that series to the Celtics, and a lot of it, too, you watch was coaching. I mean, when you're on an NBA team, every player is a great player. I look at – and Robbie had a great rant about Eric Spoelstra, who's been such a phenomenal coach in the NBA, been with the Heat for a very long time now, and look at this team that he's taken to the Eastern Conference Finals again compared to some of the other teams. I mean, look at them compared to the 76ers. The 76ers, top to bottom, are a better team just by looking at the superstars they have on their team versus the Heat only really having Jimmy Butler as the only superstar. They're good players. But, yeah, it stinks for Doc Rivers. But, I mean, this was very much a prove-it job for him, and he hasn't been able to prove it in Philadelphia after leaving the Sixers.
Yeah. Spoelstra's the most tenured coach in the NBA, isn't he? By a lot.
It was the Suns guy whose name's escaping.
Monty Williams?
Wasn't he there for...
No. I think Spoelstra's been there longer. I could be wrong, but Spoelstra took over for Pat Riley. So he's been there a long time.
Now I'm looking. I mean...
I'd be curious. I mean, I think he has to be, but I'd be curious if I'm missing one.
Oh, no. I'm so wrong on this. I'm sorry. Yeah, that was only his...
Yeah,
fourth year with the Suns.
Yeah, Spoelstra's been there like 20-something years, I think.
20?
I think it's been that long, because Pat Riley Pat Riley's still around, but Pat Riley was coaching, and then he just moved back into the front office, and Spoelstra took over.
Yeah, so he was an assistant from 97 to 08, and then head coach from 08 until now.
Yeah, okay, so not quite
just
20.
Under, but I mean the consistency there. Yeah, I mean, he coached D-Wade and LeBron and has been there through all of it.
Phenomenal. He did all
coach.
Right.
But I think Monty will get a new job. Who else did you throw out there?
Budenholzer.
Yep.
Nick Nurse is out there. Vogel's out there. D'Antoni's out there. I mean, you talk about recycling.
Yeah, they all kind of just go around. Jerry Stackhouse is here. I wonder if his name will circulate.
I don't think this is the year that he makes the jump. I mean, look, the run they went on last year was awesome, but they still didn't make the tournament. They didn't win the NIT. And so I kind of feel like he's going to have to do a little bit more. Oh, Popovich. Yeah, Popovich is probably the longest tenured. Somebody on the text line just said that.
Oh, duh. Yeah, we knew
good
that.
Good call. I feel dumb now. But okay. Thank you. Thank you for that.
But, he obviously was the obvious one, so we weren't talking about
right,
him.
I know. And I knew, like, when I was saying it, I'm like, I know I'm missing an obvious one.
You can tell there's a loose screw in my head today when I literally said the Suns coach.
Pop. How could I not say Pop?
But to your point, if they jump around, it's a lot of the same names.
Yeah, I know.
And they kind of all switch around. But no, Jerry Stackhouse is an interesting one. I kind of agree with you. One interesting pillar will be Tyron Lawrence did not get invited to the NBA Combine.
He needs to come back.
So what does his future look like?
He needs to come back. That's what it looks like.
Or really enter the transfer portal.
Yeah, or I mean, I guess he could do the G League thing, you know, like some guys do, but.
Yeah, so he got invited to that.
Yeah.
But not the NBA Combine, which is obviously what he was looking for. I mean, he has made huge strides into developing into a guy who can play in the NBA someday. I think he still needs another year of college, another year of development, another big year before he gets there. I think he's kind of on the outside looking in right now. But I agree. I mean, you get him and Ezra Mignon back as your backcourt. I know that they've had some losses and some guys enter the transfer portal, but I mean, you're looking good if you're a Vanderbilt basketball fan, and Jerry Stackhouse is going to be a huge part of it.
Yeah, and I'll say this too about Jerry. I think his ultimate goal is to be a coach in the NBA. I don't doubt that, but I also think he wants to see this through, and you know, get this team back to the tournament. If they make the tournament next year, and depending on what they do there, then I think some NBA teams might be calling.
I think more than they are now.
I mean, I think they might be calling of like, hey, we'll talk to you, but they might actually be serious. I don't know how serious they are at this point.
I mean, Jerry Stackhouse has won a G League championship. I don't think it's really – I mean, you look at the talent he had at Vanderbilt compared to some of the talent that you see in college – other college basketball teams, specifically in the SEC, whereas the NBA, I mean, that's not something he has to worry about too much.
Right. My point is, and I should have specified this more, is I think some of it's him in that he wants to see this through at Vanderbilt.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, I think he wants to leave it better than he found it, and he's not to that point yet. So, but we'll see. Doc Rivers out as the 76ers head coach. I'd be curious if he gets another crack at it. I mean, he's won a title with Boston.
Oh, he'll get another crack at it.
I think so, too. He had some good years. You know, I tell you, a team that could be a good fit for him is Phoenix.
I was just going to say, early called shot, him to Phoenix.
Yeah, I could see Phoenix. Milwaukee's interesting. You know, that's open.
Completely forgot that happened. That was
yeah, I don't get that. I don't get that
shock.
Dude wins the title 2 years ago, and now he's fired. I mean, we see it. Ed Orgeron can speak on that, but
yeah, but it's not like Milwaukee had a bad season.
No. I mean, you got Giannis.
Giannis was hurt. I mean, yeah. Right? He wasn't at full strength. That's not the coach's
fault. I put the Bucks firing Mike Budenholzer in the same category as the Rangers firing Gerard Gallant.
Yeah.
Like going like you might regret that, in the long term. So. But yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting. The coaching carousel right now is going to be interesting in the NBA. We promise you win totals in the NFL. That's how we will end the show with best bets and also the games tonight. But I got some thoughts on some of the win totals from Superbook Sports. We'll do that next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Join 102.5, 106.3 The Game this Friday for the grand opening of the new Dunkin' in Spring Hill, located at 2098 Wall Street. Stop by and grab some coffee and register for giveaways from 7 to 9 a.m. Looking forward to that. Also, let's give something away. You in a giving mood, Michelle? I'm in a giving mood.
Yes, we are.
All right. 615-737-1025. Caller number three will win a pair of tickets to see Godsmack live at First Bank Amphitheater coming up on May 23rd. Caller number three, 615-737-1025, can win those tickets to see Godsmack. Pretty good band. So win totals for the NFL. I always love it when these come out because I love to, you know, now that the schedule's out and you know you knew the opponents, but now you know where everything falls and strength of schedule and things like that. So all the sports books will release their, you know, the win totals. So this one, of course, Superbook, that's our official sports book on this show. At first glance of this, they have decided that the Arizona Cardinals are going to be the worst team in the National Football League this year because they only have them at 4.5 wins.
Yeah, that I feel like has been the consensus.
Yeah.
We were talking about this morning.
And it's even money for over.
So a lot of that must have to do with Kyler Murray, big question mark. Probably won't have DeAndre Hopkins. I'm not sure. At this point, he's still on the team.
Knows?
But and the division they're in, I guess, is harder than, you know, some of the other bad teams that are in the AFC South and NFC South.
There are some intriguing ones, though. Like Atlanta is 8. That's interesting.
Yeah, because that division.
Because I think that's right at it.
That division is somewhat of a question mark, too. I mean, yeah, the Saints got Derek Carr, but what does Alvin Kamara's health look like? How does Derek Carr look? The Panthers, you know, they have a rookie and they just gave up so much. Their number one wide receiver and so much to go and get Bryce Young. Tampa, Baker, question mark.
Yeah, Tampa's not going to be very good, I don't think.
The NFC South and the AFC South, I think, are clear and far the worst divisions in the NFL.
I'd agree with that. I'll tell you this, though. Bijan Robinson, that he's going to be a dude. He's going to be a dude.
There were some videos coming
out.
Oh,
yeah.
He was lining up at wide receiver.
Oh, yeah. I was like, man, Arthur's going to have a field day with him.
It's going to be like a new Debo.
Yeah. He's going to be
but
legit.
But even
2000. I texted Ricky. I was like, he's going to be him. And he goes, yeah, 2,000 all-purpose loading or rushing yards loading. Or all. If I could, I wish I could speak. 2,000 all-purpose yards.
I knew what you meant. I know what you meant.
Yeah, so 8 wins for Atlanta is interesting. Baltimore at 10. I lean a little bit over.
Yeah, Baltimore, I think, is a team that, I mean,
I haven't believed in them for like 2 years, and now all of a sudden I do.
It's all comes down to Lamar's health. That's what it all comes down to. Yep. They have a new offensive coordinator, though. They have OBJ.
Yep.
They drafted Zay Flowers. The division they're in is hard, but, I mean, they should have beat the Bengals in that playoff game. If it weren't for that, just.
Okay, here's my first hot take.
Okay.
Buffalo Bills, 10.5.
Under.
Under.
I don't think that's a hot take.
It's, I mean, plus 110.
Look at the division. I mean, they're in a tough division other than the Patriots. Yeah. I mean, Miami and the Jets, obviously, with Aaron Rodgers. But their schedule, I would imagine, is pretty hard. They won the division last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they have a first-place schedule. I mean, I know that Monday Night Football Week 1 is them versus the Jets.
Yeah.
So get ready. Josh Allen had turnover issues last year. What is he going to look like this year?
Let's see. Panthers, 7.5.
Under.
Probably lean under on that. Bears, 7.5. I don't know. That division's tricky, too.
Bears, 7.5?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's tricky because we all, I think, feel confident that the Lions are going to be the most solid team, I'd say. We don't know what's happening
but
with
I don't
Dalvin
know how
Cook.
You can 100% feel confident because it's the Lions.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean. The Vikings could be losing Dalvin Cook. That's been.
The Vikings win totals 8, and I would hammer the under.
Yeah, because they're going to have a first-place schedule.
I would hammer the under.
Yeah, I don't love that. And then the Packers, no idea what Jordan Love is. Two young, promising wide receivers, but no idea what Jordan Love
Packers
is.
Packers are 7.5. I lean under because I think 7's probably right. But again, yeah. I don't know what that division's going to be.
I know. It's really hard, like, because
Detroit is 9.5.
Under. I think they're at 9. I think Detroit wins about 9
games.
Plus,
they got plus 120 if you take under. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Minus 140 if you take over.
These are hard because that half is hard. But here, I'll give you a real hot take.
Okay.
The Bears will take the step that the Jags did last year.
That's a hot take. That's a hot take. I don't know about that.
I think they can in the division they're in.
I mean, getting DJ Moore is going to be big for Justin Fields. The fact that he has a bona fide
he's got
stud receiver now.
I would say he's got three solid, him, Claypool, and
yeah.
Mooney.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so you might, I don't know. That may not be a hot take. You might be onto something.
I could see it. I mean, it could be a really hot take, and like we get to week six, and I'm like, whew, what was I thinking? Yeah. But I could see it.
Bengals 11.5. I'd say over.
Oh,
I'll take over. I think Bengals.
I'll say under.
Okay.
They've got a tough. Listen, the Browns this year. Junie's high on the Steelers this year. They're in a tough division. The Ravens we just talked about.
Yeah, maybe. Cleveland's 9. I lean under. I just don't trust Cleveland. Cowboys are at 10. I lean under because I don't trust them either. Denver's 8.5. I don't know.
Everybody is
Sean Payton.
Everybody's like Sean Payton is the earth, wind, and fire, and we'll move mountains over there, and all of a sudden the team will be incredible. I'm not really sure about that.
I don't know. Let's see. Texans are 5.5.
Under?
I kind of go under. Colts are 6.5.
Under.
I go under. Jags are 10. I'm going to say under.
Yeah, these are hard.
Chiefs. Okay, here you go. Chiefs are 11.5. Give me under.
Yeah.
I think there could be a hangover. And the AFC, I mean, you're going to have Burrow that's going to ball out. Rodgers has a chip on his shoulder with the Jets.
The AFC, we've talked about it.
The AFC is stacked. Raiders are 7. I go under. Chargers are 9.5. I go slightly under because I think 9 is probably the sweet spot for them. Rams are 6.5. Depends on Stafford and what he is.
Or, hey, Stetson Bennett could be out there.
Dolphins are 9.5. It needs to be over for them, but I think it might be under because of that division.
Yeah, these are tough. You're like going through them, and I'm like, oh, I could see
Vikings are 8.5. I think I said 8 earlier. They're 8.5. I'm hammering the under. Hammering the under.
It's hard, too, without their schedules in front of us, you know, going through the list. I'm like, okay,
I'm just kind of
like
doing this off the cuff. New England, 7.5.
Under, I'm going.
Yeah. New Orleans, 9.5. Under.
Under.
Giants, 8. I'd go over. I think over. Jets, 9.5.
Under.
Over. Eagles, 11.
Under. Over. Over.
Over.
Over. Over.
Plus money there. Pittsburgh's 8.5. Man, I don't know. That one's tough. That one's really tough.
Under.
Under. I'll say over.
I hope Junie's listening.
I'll say over. San Francisco, 11. I'm going to say under.
That one's tough because you don't know
tough.
Brock Purdy.
Actually, you know
I'll
what? I'll take
over.
That back. I'm going to say over because I think Sam Darnold. Yeah. I like Sam Darnold for comeback player of the year. Because I think he's going to have to win some meaningful games.
He wasn't a starter. He wasn't a starter last year. So what is he coming back from?
It's a different argument. Different argument. He's been a starter, though.
So is Geno. It just
barely.
Was like 14 years ago.
Barely.
He did start for a season.
Barely.
He did.
Oh, listen.
It happened.
We're going to do this again. I close this out. Okay, real quick. They have the Titans 7.5.
I'm going to go over. I have them
at 9 and 8. I'm going to lean over.
I have them at 9 and 8, but a lot of toss-up games in there. And a lot of people I've talked to, Junie has them at 8 and 9, kind of right around that under or above 500 spot.
Yep, I lean over. Then Tampa's 6. I go under. Washington 6.5. I go under. So there you go.
Under. They're bleeping the bed for Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
I almost said Bedard.
Well, I mean, that could be interesting. So there you go. Those are the win totals from Superbook Sports that are out there. Ricky just points out DeMar Hamlin could win comeback player of the year. I mean, that's
probably where they're going with
that. Yeah, I mean, wouldn't that just be like he plays one game and you could just give it to him.
Yeah. mean, he's pretty much got that one locked up.
That's a good point.
But if Sam Darnold wins it, we are having this conversation again, Chase.
Oh, we'll have this conversation. I'll have this conversation all day long. I am confident in that one of it being different. But coming up next, Bill Barnwell's got some predictions for the 2023 NFL season. Where does he have the Titans? Caroline Willie and D-Mace will discuss that coming up here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.